For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm John McSwain, and today here in the studio, I have Sister Jenny Pardo, who is the director of the play production Translations, and I really thank you for finding the time to come in here and talk to me.
It's all my pleasure.
It's lovely. When you are in here, you've done some great productions before here on campus, and I'm just excited to learn more information on your vision for this one. So let's start with this. Let's see. What themes or messages do you hope to convey through this production of Translations?
Well, there are a couple of things that stand out to me that I hope our audiences also take away from this. The biggest thing, I think, for me is the idea of language and what words mean and how important they are. It's interesting because in the church and in the doctrine, we learn so much about language and words, but we don't think about language and words often as being so central to the way we understand the gospel, to the way we understand life and everything. And this play takes a look at a culture and a people whose language is being erased and taken from them. And as they are being forced to learn English, it's a play set in 1830s in Ireland. And the Irish people who had their own language, their schools were taken away from them, and they were given new national schools by the British, where they were forced to learn English and communicate in English. And that language, the Irish language, is an endangered language. It doesn't get spoken very often anymore. And so you see the startings of that. But I think one of the things that stands out about language and why language is so important in that is the ability to communicate and the words that are necessary to communicate. Sometimes they change, and sometimes our language needs to change. You know, the characters in this play, it's not a play that looks at things from one direction or one perspective. It's pretty easy to get defensive and say, you know, they're erasing the language. It's, the Irish is going away. It's not okay, you know, because we want to hold on to something. We want to hold on to that cultural past. But there are characters in there who are also saying, you know, we need English. We need to learn how to communicate with the outside world. And we have characters who are also really pushing for language to evolve more naturally, because it's not something that's supposed to be stagnant. The words have different meanings and they change over time. And, you know, as we study this year, we're looking at the Book of Mormon, you know, again. And as I'm studying in the Book of Mormon and I'm thinking about words and what the words used to mean to Joseph Smith, or the words used to mean even back further to Nephi. We're still in that time. Okay. But, you know, they had really specific meanings, and meanings can change over time and shift over time. And so to understand people in the past, we have to look at and understand what words meant then and what they mean now, and how our relationship to language can shape our understanding of the past and who we are.
That is perfect. I was just going to ask you, in your opinion, how important is it to go back and maybe revisit the languages that are endangered or has been erased to understand historical events that has happened in the past? And, you know, honestly, what you just said, to break down what that meaning was at the time of the writing.
Yeah. And not only at time of writing, but language when it's spoken is different than language when it's written down. And trying to imagine how people communicated with each other is also something else that I think is really fascinating with spoken language too. Irish, there is something called Ogham writing, and it's really interesting because it's just a line that is a vertical line. And from that line, there are little sticks that are drawn out from it. And that is how they communicated in the written language originally in the Irish Celtic culture. And then that changed and transitioned into something a little bit more sophisticated in terms of the written language. But, you know, people have been talking for a lot longer than they've been writing, too. And so trying to imagine what cultures were like and what we have, what we miss when we only focus on what's written down, I think is something else that I hope others think about when they come and see the show.
Can you tell us about the casting process for translations and the qualities you were looking for and the actors to portray these complex characters?
Yes, of course. We held auditions back. We started auditions on Halloween of this last year. So we had a long process. And the reason why is because we have a new dialect that the actors had to learn. Most of the actors are speaking in a Northern Irish dialect, which is distinct from the Southern Irish and what people usually think of as Irish. You also have characters who speak with a British dialect. And then you have a couple of brave souls who had to be able to speak in both back and forth. Because even though the characters speak Irish and some speak English as well, the whole play is written in English, obviously, because we're an English-speaking audience. So we needed to be able to distinguish, okay, you know, here's where they're speaking in Irish and here's where they're speaking in English. And so sometimes some of these actors have to go back and forth rapidly when they're translating for other characters on stage. So we started the process early in casting to make sure that we had people who were able to work with the difficulties of the dialect and who were able to handle that. We also have a character that we needed to be careful with, who has a severe stutter, and we wanted to make sure to honor that instead of have it just be imitated in a way that can be offensive. So we wanted to make sure when we were casting that character as well that we had an actor who was able to vocalize and play those parts without just imitating what they had seen before, but actually getting into what it feels like to have that kind of, it's a blockage, a stutter, where they can't get language out, words out past the first sound often. So there were a few things that we were looking at and looking for. It's also a very beautiful and complex emotional script. And so we needed to make sure that we had actors who were able and capable of looking at the material mature in a mature way. We had a wide variety of people to choose from. And unfortunately, we couldn't cast as many as did well. But that's kind of the nature of theater. In fact, there were some people who had fabulous auditions who just didn't fit any of the characters that we weren't even able to call back into the second round of auditions. But the cast that we have is very dynamic, and they have taken on their characters. They've embodied them. They've brought them to life. And I love watching them work together on stage. And you know, it's... often when I cast a show, that's the biggest part of the directing process, because if you don't have the right cast, then you have a lot more work to do. And this group has just worked so well together that I find them bringing things out of the characters that I hadn't even anticipated ahead of time, and they're adding so much with their individual performances. That I really appreciate.
Yeah. translations deals with themes of language, identity, and cultural imperialism. How did the production team approach these themes in terms of set design, costumes, and character portrayals, which you kind of just told us?
Yeah, well, we have I was able to bring in some images and things from my own travels to Ireland. I actually have family heritage in Donegal, which is the county where this play takes place. And this is a little side note thing, but this play was really important to me because it's about this cultural erasure, this imperialism, the loss of language, and my family tree line just disappears once you get to Donegal because of the Catholics and the Protestants and the wars and the destruction of all the records and things there. And so we have this line of my family that I can't trace back very far at all. And it just ends there. Whenever they left there, you know, somebody came to the U.S. And we have a journal that says my father was from Donegal, Ireland. And that's as far as we can go back. But and we do have a name. But so I traveled out there and was able to see a production of this show in Dublin and was really moved by it and felt this very personal connection to it. And so I brought it back here and, you know, showed it to the faculty who also, the other theater faculty, who also found it incredibly moving and relevant to today. So we decided to put it on. So a lot of our design ideas, a lot of our ideas for the production came from photographs and experiences that I had in my travels that I was able to share with them. And we have this beautiful set being built in an old, it looks like an old barn, but it's also got, you know, parts of these ruins that are common all over Ireland. We also have our costume designer who took these rich, beautiful, saturated colors and created this world. Costuming and lighting design wise, our lighting designer also worked with it to really enhance what the vibrancy of life that was there. I shared a lot of pictures of wildflowers, and we looked at, you know, the Irish wildflowers versus these domesticated English gardens, and the differences that you see there. And both are beautiful, but they're very different. And so what happens when you take one space and try to take out that beauty in order to create something new? And so we have the color scheme that they're working with highlights the way that the British officers that are there just don't fit. There's something different about them. They're outsiders, and you can see that in the color scheme, and the way that they stick out in the space, whereas the Irish are a part of that. The land is a part of them. They are a part of where they are too.
Just thinking about that. Like, that's fantastic. Like, that you brought that in. That kind of makes it a little more modern to the time that you went on your trip. And
wow. Yeah. Well, and I know I'm not the only one because of the destruction of these records and the history of Ireland there. And we have so many Irish immigrants that come to the United States. I know there are people in our listening area here who are probably going, yep, that happened with my ancestors, you know, yeah, we lose the traces of them in Ireland too. And so it's personal, but it's also something that I feel like is going to be personal to a lot of people.
So how do you instruct the actors in a play to tap into that same feeling you have about this play and to bring it to life?
We've had a couple of opportunities to spend time together. You know, I hosted a fireside at my house where we were able to bring in everybody and any spouses and things. And there we talked about language and the importance of language and why it's got such a spiritual connection. But I also have a group of people working with me who have fallen in love with the language of the play, which makes it really easy then to talk about, you know, the themes of it. People were really excited when they read it, and it's just so beautifully written that I know I've had multiple actors say, you know, it feels like an honor to be able to say these words. And I've worked on wonderful plays before and great plays, but there is something special about the language in this. And so I didn't have to do much to get the actors on board with that. They were excited about it, and that made me really excited too. And then, of course, sharing with them some of my own personal connections has helped them see a little bit more, you know, where I'm coming from and why the play is important to me. But I haven't had to do much for them.
So the play starts on March 20th.
Yes.
How long is the play production going to run for?
It runs for the 2 weeks there. So we have our Wednesday through Saturday performance the first week, and then the second week, Tuesday through Saturday. And our final performance is a matinee. So don't show up that evening. Please come that afternoon.
That is great. And start time is 7:30?
Yes, 7:30 or 2 o'clock for the one matinee performance.
Okay. And we're in the Black Box Theater.
Yes.
Which is incredible what you can do in that room.
Yes.
Can you go into your vision of, I don't want you to give it away, I want it to be a surprise. But, you know, for those who don't know, you walk into this room, it's just a square room with literally black walls and stuff like that, or curtains. And you kind of got to imagine that set or your vision for it. Can you kind of give us a little insight of, you know, speaking to that set design manager of what you had a vision for?
Yes. And we had a great set designer, Richard Clifford, who brought to life the Irish beauty that I was looking for. But we're going to be doing this production in the round, which means that we have audiences on all four sides, and we are going to have only three rows of audiences. So it's going to feel very small, even though we can sit a couple hundred people. It's going to feel very small, feel very intimate. We have right up to the edge of where the seating goes, we have grass and wildflowers growing and stuff that the actors interact with. So it should feel to the audience like they are immersed in it. They're in it. They can see themselves there. They can see across and see other audience members watching the play. And with that, there's we're kind of implicating the audience a little bit. We're saying, like, you have to pay attention to this. You can't look away and can't, you know, snooze, because other audience members will see you and you see them too. But it's saying, you know, we're a part of this. We've received this legacy of language. We have inherited this cultural history and the way that the world works. And we every day are a part of erasing other cultures by evolving as who we are as a society. And it's not saying, you know, in every way that that's a bad thing. We're just saying we should pay attention to that. It's important, you know. There's a really beautiful production of Translations that's going on right now in the Ukraine that has been playing throughout the conflict with Russia, where they are looking at not only, you know, what's happening there right now, but also the history and how how there's been a cultural creep where, you know, a culture has come over and taken hold and taken root, and they've lost a lot of things that have made them like Ukrainian people. And I think we have that too in our time. We let social media, we let TikTok, we let all these things that influence us, you know, come in and take over what our regional cultures are, our family cultures are. All these things influence us now. And we are losing some of these things, these cultures that are a part of who we are. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose them altogether. Once again, not saying there's anything evil with social media, with you know, TikTok, with influencers. It just happens over time. And if we're not careful, then we don't get to manage what gets changed about our culture and what doesn't.
Thank you for that. And it seems like you guys want to sell out every show with that. I know it will. When do tickets go on sale?
You know, I don't know that, to tell you the truth. I usually find out when I get an email saying that they're on sale.
Okay. Well, I think from the history, from what I know, it's normally like 2 weeks before play or something like that.
Yeah.
So grab your tickets as soon as possible, whoever's listening to this.
Please do.
That is fantastic. Do you have anything else to say to whoever's listening to this? And I mean, if there's that one person that's going out to a BYU Idaho play production for the first time and it's your production, what do you want to tell them?
Oh, I want them to know that it's a unique and special experience. You know, we get to start with a prayer, which is not something you normally get to have in the theater. And I still remember, it was my last production, somebody said they had a friend come and they were a little bit, they were like, okay, that's going to be a little weird to say a prayer before a show. But instead, what they found was the Spirit all of a sudden came in, and they were able to enjoy the production and take messages from it. And I think that's unique and special to what we get to do at BYU Idaho, is intentionally invite the Spirit in for our audiences to be able to take whatever message they need to hear at that time. And you know, what you get from this production may be totally different than what somebody else does. And that's great. We hope you get something. I mean, there are things that I've mentioned that I hope people get from it, but if you get something different from it, I hope it's something that the Spirit has been whispering and inspiring you to take away from it. And I think this particular play is especially great at doing that because there are so many different perspectives in it. It's not a play that's going to preach to you one thing or another. It's going to force you to look at multiple perspectives. And from those perspectives, you know, I hope you walk away uplifted and inspired to do whatever you need to do in your own life. It's not a comedy. I should say that. It's not a super cheery play, but it's a play that is enriching and fills something in our souls, I think.
That is perfect. Thank you once again for coming in, giving us these insights and tidbits about translations of where it came from. And
yeah, thank you so much for having me, John.
Indeed.